Welcome to The Connected Life. The Connected Life with hosts Travis and Carrie Fry is all about helping you live a more connected life. They want you more connected to God, self, spouse, family, community, and to the world at large. It is their belief that the more connected you are, the holier and healthier you will be. So stay tuned to The Connected Life with your hosts Travis and Carrie Fry as they explore all facets of what it means to live the connected life.
Welcome to The Connected Life, a ministry of Crossroads Counseling on Family Values Radio 1010 KXXT. I'm your host, Christian counselor Travis Fry, joined by my wife and co-host, Carrie Fry.
We are a husband and wife team that together combine our training in both psychology and theology and a real life experience to bring you The Connected Life.
The Connected Life is all about intimately connecting with and loving both God and others. So last week, we dove into a topic that is pretty much an epidemic, right? We were talking about divorce and looking at all of the different statistics on divorce, and that it seems that at least 40% of marriages will end in a divorce. And then we looked, that's kind of the national average, but then we looked at Christian marriages and found that that number is actually lower within Christian marriages. However, it is still an issue. It is still a problem that is plaguing even Christians. And we got to the point where we were starting to talk about our thoughts on how you can divorce-proof your marriage. And so the first thing that we shared last week, and I'll just review this, and then we'll go into the other points here, Carrie, is the first thing that we talked about is the, per the research that we were looking at in our last show, this idea of having God be at the center of your marriage is key to divorce-proofing your marriage. Let me see if I can find that statistic there that I wanted to say.
53% of very happy couples would agree with the statement that God is at the center of our marriage.
Thank you. And that, and in comparison, only 7% of struggling couples will agree with that statement. So we can see that the research is reflecting what we already know to be true, and that is having a vibrant, active faith is essential to divorce-proofing your marriage. Again, the issue, though, is that even in situations where that is true, where you do have the vibrant act of faith, we are not immune to divorce. We are not immune to challenges.
Right.
You know, God doesn't promise that He's going to give us a life free of difficulties and hardships and challenges. And so what we want to do is give couples the information that they need to divorce-proof their marriage. So the first thing we talked about is having God be at the center of your marriage. But then what does that actually mean to have God be at the center of your marriage? And what we said is that it means having this commitment both as individuals and also as a couple and a family that you're going to follow God's will in your life.
Amen.
And then we talked about how both individually and as a couple, it's really important to do things such as praying together or worshiping together, studying and reading scripture together, sharing with each other, serving together, and just having this sense of connection to God and to one another. You know, when I was, I don't know where I learned this, but I love this image. If you picture a triangle, there's three points. And if you picture God at the top of the triangle, and then let's say you and your spouse are at the bottom, the base of the triangle on the left and the right sides, right? There's a lot of distance there, right? You're separated. But as you move closer to God, so as you can picture traveling up to the top point of the triangle, up to the top point of the triangle, what inevitably happens is as you move closer to God, you end up closer to one
together.
Another as
yeah.
well. And so I just like that image. I think there's there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
That as you move closer to God, both individually and as a couple, you end up closer to each other.
Yeah, In thinking about this show, it made me reflect, okay, when we've had troubles in the past, why were we willing to work through it? Why did we stick in there? What is the difference between someone that would just give up and someone that would want to stick it through? And what I kind of came up with is that as a Christian, one of the biggest things that affects me as a Christian in my life is the meta narrative of God in history and in the Bible, where we see God kind of in a relationship with man, mm-hmm. right, with his people. So, for instance, in the Bible, he's reaching out to Abraham, he's reaching out to Moses and the Israelites, and he's saying, I want you to be my people, I'm committed to you, I'm there. And the people continually mess up, they fail, they are imperfect and they stumble, but God continually comes back to them.
God made a covenant.
God commits to them. Mm-hmm. He comes back to them. And ultimately, with Christ becoming a man and sacrificing everything to be one, a part of these people, his people, and also to save them from all of these mistakes, all this stuff, this messiness that has been around, and imparting grace, imparting forgiveness, and this amazing love. And this story, I think, is something that is a part of who I am as a Christian. And I think that is part of why a lot of Christians are more likely to stick it out in a marriage when it's difficult. When you have that story as part of who you are, and that and wanting to live out that beautiful story of how someone has loved you in that amazing way, you want to be able to love other people in that way too. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way that I think you would stick to it. I don't know, Travis. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're talking about God's love, and God's love is a love that never fails, right? And even when we fail and we, in essence, turn our back on God, separate from him, which mm-hmm. is what divorce is, right? Separation. He doesn't give up, right? He's relentless. He pursues us. And you see that throughout Scripture, that even in all of those situations where we rejected him, right, and we pushed him away, he continually pursues us, and he doesn't give up.
And I think that man in general is attracted to that story. You see that in love stories a lot, you know, like The Notebook, where they fall in love, but, you know, she loses her memory and has dementia and no longer, but he sticks with her. People love that. Mm-hmm. They love that there is that love that goes beyond what is natural and self-serving. And when that story can live out in your life, people want to do that, whether they know that is God's story with us or not. That is a desire in hearts, I think, built into who we are as humans.
It's written on our heart.
Yeah, yeah.
That need, that God vacuum.
Yeah.
Or that God hole. You know, that need to be loved unconditionally. And as a marriage counselor, inevitably, when you listen to people in their conflict and in their struggle, they do not feel that unconditional love. And of course, we're imperfect. We cannot love unconditionally. Our love fails, but God's love never fails. And I think the point you're making here is that we are drawn to that. We are attracted to that. We need that, mm-hmm. right? That sense of love and commitment that even in my worst, I know that God doesn't give up.
Yeah. And I guess that my theory here is that I think that story and that salvation history, the salvation story, might be a key to why Christians and committed Christians are more likely to stick with it.
Yeah.
Having that story be a part of who you are, it changes your attitude towards sticking in and mm-hmm. and being faithful and
absolutely. Yeah. And so in that same way that God prioritizes his relationship with us, that's what we need to do with our spouse.
Yeah.
Right? We need to make that relationship with our spouse the most important relationship that we have here on earth. And you have to make each other one another's priority.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And just being willing to fight and believing that the fight is worth it. I think that's part of my own heartbreak in hearing friends of ours that are going through it, the divorce right now, or separation. They, one of them does not want to fight, you know, mm-hmm. they have given up before even really throwing the first punch. You know, they haven't even entered into the fight,
yeah.
but yet they want to give up. And for some reason, they don't see what there is to fight for and how heartbreaking that is to see that there's there's no value for the fight
for
to go on. Yeah,
yeah,
for the marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sense of prioritizing your marriage, prioritizing your wife or your husband, fighting for that connection, don't avoid the problems. In fact, confront those head on. Things may get messy for a while.
Yeah, it's going to hurt and it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
If fights aren't clean, fair, or pretty,
mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to be a mess.
go into the tough place, right? And,
yeah.
And if you look at Christ, he was definitely willing.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, he went into some hurt and some pain and some physical pain, some emotional pain, but he did that because of his commitment, because of his covenant with us. The other point that I want to bring out real quick, Carrie, is that it's really important as a Christian couple to connect with other Christian couples.
Yes.
Who are both committed, who are all committed to God and marriage, right? Who can come alongside you and support you and build you up. And in those dark valleys, not only do you have your spouse that you want to walk those dark valleys with, right? But we all need that person to come alongside us. So maybe it's a guy friend for me, maybe it's a girlfriend for you. That just come alongside you and encourage you, who are not on my side or your side, but who are on the side of the marriage.
Right.
Right. And who can speak truth in your life and who can also offer you grace. And so that's a huge piece to divorce proofing your marriage, is you want to connect with those other Christian couples. By the way, if you're just listening to us, we're Travis and Carrie Fry, and we're talking about divorce and how you can divorce-proof your marriage. To learn more about us, you can visit us on our website, which is counselingphoenixscottsdale.com, or you can call us at 623-680-3486. We offer marriage counseling services here in Arizona. So right now we're talking about some of the practical tips that you can do to really divorce-proof your marriage. We talked about the importance of keeping God at the center of your marriage. We talked about making the relationship with your wife the most important relationship here on earth. You have to become each other's priority. We talked about connecting with other Christian couples, and now I just want to talk about the importance of guarding your heart, which is really how you protect your marriage. You know, Carrie, many divorces end as a result of an affair, which is really a topic for another show, but just really, really briefly, this idea of guarding your heart. And it's not just men, it's women too, right? But it's just being mindful of what and who you look at. And it's also not allowing your heart to connect to someone else who is not your spouse. Mm-hmm. Now, I worked with couples who've had affairs, and it usually starts with, I put this in quotation marks, kind of like an innocent kind of flirtatious type of thing that goes on. There's no such thing as innocent flirtation, right? But if that person starts to think about that other person, starts to kind of get excited when they're around them, you know, wants to talk with them, someone who's not your spouse, so to speak, right? You're really on dangerous ground.
Right.
And so this whole idea of guarding your heart, and this is how you protect your marriage. Your spouse needs to be the number one person that you look to for emotional connection, emotional support, physical intimacy, all of those different things. And like I said, we'll get into that whole topic of affairs and things as we, maybe in a different show. Another thing that I want to say is kind of related to guarding your heart and protecting your marriage, and on the physical side of things, like the sexual part of a relationship, it is so important to stay connected to one another sexually. In fact, Scripture talks about this and the importance of having that kind of connection with your spouse. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about how the wife has authority over her husband's body, and the husband has authority over his wife's body. And it talks about not depriving one another except for an agreed upon limited time so that you can pray, connect to God. But then it says you need to come back to one another, right? And then Proverbs 5, 18 through 19, again, speaks to the importance of staying connected sexually. It says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Of your youth, thank you. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. And so, you know, Scripture doesn't shy away from this topic, and I don't think as Christians we should either. It's very important to make sure that you're protecting your marriage and you're staying within the confines of your marriage, your covenant with your wife or with your husband. One point that you brought up, Carrie, which I absolutely thought was good in terms of divorce-proofing your marriage, is that we just need to enjoy each other. A lot of couples start off enjoying each other and really just having fun and really enjoying each other's company. And this process of never really learning all about your spouse, I think that's true. Like, I mean, there's facets of you that I probably don't know yet, right? And so this continual, I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you on the most intimate level, and you doing the same with me, and just really have that enjoyment with each other is so important and vital to divorce-proofing your marriage. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Now, this is Solomon, by the way.
Ecclesiastes, a little depressing.
But this is what he says, right? Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. So just go out, have fun, laugh, go on adventures with one another. Never stop pursuing, dating, like enjoying each other and connecting with one another.
Yeah, so I think some of the practical ways, I think just going and doing things that maybe you haven't done in a while but you enjoy together, like playing cards or, you know, getting out a game that maybe you played when you first met, going on walks or, you know, something that you both enjoy. And if you kind of grown apart where you're thinking, well, what do we enjoy together? Find something, you know. Right. It could be comedy, improv, like when we had the Deering's over, or it could be you decide you're going to take up couples dancing, or you're going to go hiking more, or whatever it might be. Find something you can both enjoy together and make it happen, and laugh together.
Well said. So just a quick review: to divorce-proof your marriage, have God be the center of your marriage, make your relationship with your spouse the most important relationship here on earth. You have to be each other's priority. Make sure you're connecting with other Christian couples who are for your marriage, who support you, who believe in you, who are going to speak truth and grace in your life. Guard your heart. Protect your marriage. Stay connected sexually. And don't forget to have fun and enjoy each other. And then finally, be proactive. What I mean by that is your marriage doesn't have to be in dire straits for you to go and read a marriage book, to go on a marriage retreat, to see a marriage counselor. In fact, what I recommend is that you do preventative maintenance. What that means is that even when things are going great and nothing seems to be going wrong, just like a car, right? You take that car and you get the oil changed to make sure that the performance of that car is going well. Marriage is the same way. Go see a counselor, or read that book, talk to some friends, dig deep. You know, we all have blind spots. We all have those areas we can't see. And just the value of really being proactive and continually investing in your marriage and in one another is a very positive way to divorce-proof your marriage.
And I think a big part of that is not waiting until you're bleeding out before you go to the counseling. You don't try to fix it after it's completely a mess. Start early, and you know, make sure that you are doing things maintenance wise versus the big problems.
Right.
You know, don't let it get bad. Let it do some work when it's good.
Yeah.
Because when you can work on things when it's good, you're going to build protection for when things get bad, and things will get bad.
Yeah.
They always do. And life goes and it changes, and problems come in your life, but you need to be proactive and ready.
Right.
You know, I think we had our friends on, Dan and Janet, and I remember something what Dan was saying was he's a police officer. He does a lot of shooting and lots of training to
repetition.
Be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when there's an emergency, he can't just go and do the right thing in the emergency when he hasn't done training. It's
right.
all about being prepared beforehand. So they have and he helps train people. So he will have people go through different situations that they'll put up and set up and see how they react in those situations, and they practice the reaction. They practice, you know, on targets. They practice over and over. They get their body ready, and I think that is what we need to do as couples. You
right.
know, we as a marriage, you need to be training. You need
right.
to be ready and prepared for when it comes. Have your tool belt of what happens. And
right.
a lot of that is knowing what are your tendencies, what are your spouse's tendencies. So if you know that that you don't like confrontation, you don't want to have problems and confront things, then you have to be aware of that when problems come.
Well said. So to connect with us, you can visit us on the web at CounselingPhoenixScottsdale.com or on Facebook at Facebook.com/The Connected Life Radio, or you can call us at 623-680-3486. Remember that we're having our September marriage retreat in just a few weeks. If you're interested, give us a call at 623-680-3486. Remember, get connected and stay connected, Arizona.